Good morning to you. My name is Naomi, the wife of Elimelech. I grew up in Bethlehem, Judah. For those of you who do not know my country very well, that's about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. I'm here this morning because I'd like to tell you about a young friend of mine, a woman named Ruth. Now, you'll find her story written in its completeness in your Bible in the Old Testament. In fact, you might even find it helpful to look at it this morning as I tell you what I want to tell you about her. I don't intend to tell you the whole story because you probably know it anyway, but I want to give you some sense of what Ruth has taught me about the subject of faithfulness. Faithfulness. I suppose in your culture as in ours, faithfulness is in short supply. It seems that too many people live life just for what they can get out of others instead of what they can invest in others. I get the feeling that even in many marriages, they are marriages of convenience. People only feeling good about their marriage as long as their marriage is giving them what they want out of it. As I said, in our culture, as I suspect in yours, examples of faithfulness, of loyalty, I mean long-term, lifetime faithfulness, seem to be hard to find. Actually, your word faithfulness is only a partial translation of the word that I have in mind. The word in my language is the word hesed. No, not blessed, but with an H, hesed. There are actually several English words that begin to get at what that Hebrew word means to me. Words such as undeserved favor or loyal, emphasis on that word, loyal love. Well, maybe the word kindness comes close. And no, I don't mean a kindness that is motivated out of pity. I mean the kindness that comes out of genuine love for someone. Maybe a way of describing the word hesed in your language is to simply call it a loyal, loving kindness, faithfulness to another person. Well, back to my story. I said I wanted to tell you about Ruth and her faithfulness. That is her loving kindness, loyal loving kindness to me. More than 15 years ago, my husband, my two sons, and I moved away from Bethlehem to the neighboring country of Moab. There was a famine in our land, and we knew that if we did not do something, we would literally starve. It was not long after we moved that my husband died. I thought things had been bad before, but at that point in my life, I was desperate. Fortunately, my two sons were able to work, as was I, and we somehow managed to make ends meet. And not long after that, things began to look a little better when both of my sons got married. That's where Ruth comes in. My Malan married her. Both my daughters-in-law are excellent women, but as I came to find out, there was something very special about Ruth. Well, I said I was desperate when my husband died, but I must tell you, I thought a little later that my world would come to an end when 10 years later, both my married sons died as well. By that time, I had heard that the famine in my home country of Judah was over, and realizing that there was nothing at all holding me in Moab, I made plans to go home. Well, Ruth and Orpah, that's my other daughter-in-law, both of them said that they wanted to go with me. And I felt fairly confident that though they were being thoughtful, we would only need to get underway and they would realize that they truly needed to stay in their own country. And when that day came that we actually left, I told them both how much I loved them, and then I asked a blessing on them. That's the first time that I can remember I've ever used the word hesed. I asked that God would show hesed, or loyal kindness, faithfulness to my daughters-in-law. I asked God to show them the same kind of kindness that they had shown to me and to their husbands. Well, I don't think I really understood what that word meant until I experienced what Ruth did next. I told them both how illogical it was for them to go with me, and that frankly, I was what people considered to be bad luck. They'd probably do better by not going along with me. Orpah, that's my other daughter-in-law, as I said, did what I expected and what I had hoped that both of them would do. She kissed me goodbye and went back to her parents' home. But Ruth, and here's the surprising part, though I begged her, Ruth wouldn't leave. And with the words that she spoke next, I learned something about faithfulness. I learned something about that word hesed, about loyal kindness. I learned that loyal faithfulness, loyal loving kindness is a decision. I'll never forget her words. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Now what struck me with that was that she was not just making a decision to go to Judah. She was making a decision to stay with me. She was making a decision of commitment to me personally. And then I realized how serious she was when she invited God's curse on her if she did anything other than stay with me forever. Well, this woman had thought it through, and she had made a decision in her mind, and then she declared that decision openly. And by making the decision and by declaring it openly and putting her relationship with God on the line in that declaration, I knew that for this woman there was no turning back. And that's where faithfulness starts. Whether it's faithfulness to God or faithfulness to a spouse or to a friend, loyalty begins with a decision and with a declaration, one that says, I choose to treat you this way from this day forward. I was also struck with something else about her decision. It was not just a decision, not just a declaration, but it grew out of her love for me. I don't think I have ever felt before as loved as I felt that day. I recognize that just as God's love is unearned, so Ruth's love that day for me was unearned. There was no way that I had deserved it. It was just what I would call raw love, a choice to love me. I want to love like that. I want to have that kind of loyal kindness, that kind of faithfulness to others. But when I realized that Ruth was determined to go with me, I stopped urging her to go back to her own home. And even though I thoroughly appreciated what it was she was thinking and her love and her commitment to me, I must admit that I wondered about what kind of burden this young woman would be on me. After all, now I had not only to worry about myself, but I had to worry about her. But again, Ruth taught me something about faithfulness, something else about it. No sooner had we gotten back to Bethlehem than Ruth asked if she could go into the fields and could pick up the grain that had been left over so we would have food to eat. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but in our country, when they cut down the grain, they're supposed to leave the corners of the fields. And if they drop grain, they're not supposed to go back and pick it up. They're supposed to leave that so that poor people like us could go out into the fields and could go over the entire field picking up whatever grain there was left over so that we could feed ourselves. We call it gleaning, picking up the leftovers in the field. And I want you to know that is very hard work, walking mile after mile picking that grain up. And I'm no spring chicken, and frankly, that kind of work would kill me. But Ruth went for me. Faithfulness is not only a decision, it's not only a declaration, it is also hard work. And when Ruth made the commitment to love me and be loyal to me, it meant no matter what. And I learned that faithfulness is not just talk, but I learned that faithfulness, loyal kindness, is love in action, because that woman worked hard that day, and not only that day, but she worked hard every day, and she did it for me. I want to love like that. I want to have that kind of loyal kindness toward another person. Ruth's faithfulness not only involved a decision and a declaration and hard work, but if you think about it for a moment, you realize that Ruth's faithfulness also meant risk. I don't know if you've thought about it or not, but the very fact that she left Moab and came to Judah with me was a great risk for her. Anyone could see that tragedy and suffering followed me wherever I went, famine when I was in my native land, death when I was in my adopted country. Anyone staying with me was taking a risk, I thought, and Ruth, however, was willing to take that risk and to be with me. When she left her home, she had no idea where she was going. She had no idea how we were going to make a living. She could have as easily been headed into starvation as anything else. There was a great risk. Not only this, imagine that she was a foreigner. I mean, understand that she was a foreigner. And when she came back to Israel, she was going to be working among people who considered her less than they were. She was going to be working among people who, frankly, and I was afraid of it, would not only verbally abuse her because she was from Moab. I don't know if you know much about our history, but the people of Moab are not appreciated by Israelites. And I understood that this woman could be verbally abused, if not physically abused, and I warned her of that. But Ruth was willing to take the risk because of her faithfulness to me. I want to love like that. I want to love God, and I want to love others that way. Now, you probably already know that the field that Ruth gleaned in that first day, unbeknownst to us, was owned by a distant relative named Boaz. Ruth met Boaz that day, and from what Ruth told me, Boaz took quite an interest in her. But what you may not know is that as the days went on through the harvest, I took quite an interest in him. Did I mention to you that Boaz was a distant relative? That may not mean much to you in your country, but in my country that is very, very important, for it can make all the difference in the world as to what happens to your future. You see, both my husband and my sons, as I've said, were dead, and that meant that I had no one to pass the family property onto, and it also meant that I had no one to carry the family name along. Now, maybe that doesn't mean much in your culture, but in our culture, it was everything. For we understood that God had given to us this land, and that God had called us to be his people, and the family property that God had given us and the family name that God had given us was to be carried on generation after generation. And if there were no sons, no children, and no grandchildren, that name would die. As poor as we were and as old as I was, I knew that we were going to be forced to sell the little property we had, and that with my death would end the family of Elimelech. But what happened next taught me a great lesson about faithfulness. I thought up a plan for how I could get Ruth and Boaz together. Now, what I mean is I wanted to make certain that Boaz would marry Ruth. Sure, I was concerned for Ruth that she would have a home of her own, but candidly, I was just as concerned about my own dead husband's property and his name, and so I made up this plan for Ruth to propose to Boaz. Well, when she showed up at his place of work in the middle of the night and proposed to him, he said something that made me realize another dimension of faithfulness, and that is that faithfulness involves sacrifice. Here's what Boaz said to Ruth. This kindness that you show now is greater than the kindness you showed earlier. Now, that word kindness, by the way, is the very same word that I had used earlier when I pronounced the blessing on my daughters-in-law. It's the very word that I'm talking about right now. Boaz was saying that Ruth had shown a kindness in asking him to marry her that was even greater than the kindness she had shown to Ruth when she left Moab to come back to Israel with her. Now, I don't think I still would have gotten it if Ruth hadn't told me what else he added. For he added these words, "You have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor." I'd missed it. Sure, Boaz had money and security, but he was a lot older than she was. And like any young woman, surely Ruth had dreams about marrying a man more her own age, a man who was probably more attractive. But Boaz had hit it right on the head. Ruth didn't have herself primarily in mind. She had me on her heart. And by marrying Boaz, it was not her family name that she was prolonging. It was not her family property that she was protecting. It was mine. And as I thought about that, I of course again remembered the words that she had said to me even before we left Moab on our way back to Bethlehem. She said to me, and I don't think I understood the significance of these words. She said, "Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And where you will die, and where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried." That young woman had already made up her mind back in Moab that she wasn't just going to come along until I got settled and then go home. She was coming for life. She had made a commitment of a lifetime. And not only was she going to bring herself along, but she was not going to bring her culture. She was going to adopt mine, and my family would become her family. That young woman that day sacrificed her own future for mine. That day she gave up her family for mine. She gave up her gods for my God. My family and my God became hers. Ruth committed herself to me. Not just to a principle, not just to an ideal, not just to a better way of life, but she committed herself to me. And I want to love God like that. And I want to love others like that. One last thing that Ruth talked me about faithfulness. She talked me about the rewards of faithfulness. Back before the famine, when my husband and sons and I were still living in Judah, I think my concept of God was pretty shallow. Everything in life was good, and I just assumed that God is good. After all, look how things are going in my life. I had a pretty naive faith, one that was untested by much life. But when the famine hit, and then my husband and my sons died, I became a very different woman. Oh, I still believed in God, but I think I pretty much had the idea that the providence of God had to do only with those terrible things that happen in life, that somehow God is still controlling to his desired ends. I'm afraid that the joy had gone out of my life. Or maybe I had simply too closely connected joy with smooth sailing. In any case, when things fell apart, I found myself not only feeling miserable, but acting miserably. Any faith I still had, I simply thought of as coping. I saw my relationship with God as simply one of hanging on. I was tempted to think of life as just one long, hard experience and then you die. I was tempted to think of faith as just accepting the bad things that happen in your life. I got to the place where I wasn't even expecting God's providence to include anything pleasant or enjoyable. I'm afraid that I thought of anyone who talked about joy in this life as simply naive. I thought to myself, they'll find out. They'll find out. And if they have any faith left at all, it'll just be enough faith that they can cope. You know, when I watched what happened to Ruth, I realized there was a whole other dimension to faithfulness, and that is its rewards. Ruth experienced the death of a husband as I had. And yet she still faced the future with anticipation. Every day I would watch this woman as she would expect God to bless. She faced each day eager to live it, anticipating the joy that God would bring into her life. And what my experience with Ruth has taught me is that God rewards faithfulness. God's providence is not only hidden behind the clouds of suffering, but his providence shines through into much of what takes place in life. Yes, it's true that the kingdom of God will come in its fullness, unclouded by sin and tragedy, but we can know much of the joy of the Lord now in this life. God rewards faithfulness. And please don't misunderstand, I'm not talking about health and wealth. I'm talking about recognizing and receiving from the hand of the Lord all the good and perfect gifts which he bestows on us every day. I had missed that. My life had somehow become one of simply wondering when the next hit was going to take place, when the next difficulty was going to come on, how my faith was going to be stretched just ever so much more, and would I be able to cope, would I be able to hang on? And I had missed the providence of God in all of its goodness. Back when we were still in Moab, I prayed that God would show his kindness to Ruth by giving her a home, a husband. When Boaz first met Ruth there in the fields, he was so impressed with her hesed, her faithfulness, her loyal commitment to me, that he asked that God would likewise reward her with kindness, hesed. And I think you all know that's exactly what God did. My Ruth was given a home. Boaz married her. My Ruth was enabled by God to conceive, and she had a baby boy. God not only gave a child to Ruth, but in that, God gave a child to me, a child who would carry on the family name, a child who would inherit the family property, a child who would care for me in my old age. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God is good. And the providence of God has not only to do with persevering through trial. The providence of God also has to do with enjoying the life that God has given us. I want a relationship with God that is like Ruth's, a relationship that accepts the pain that he allows into our lives, but a relationship that also expects and never ceases to look for the things that God is doing in life that demonstrate his kindness, his faithfulness every day. I do not want to succumb to a life of joyless perseverance, only hanging on until God comes. I want to develop a life of joyful expectation and enjoyment of the goodness of God today. Hesed, faithfulness, loyal, loving kindness to others is what Ruth taught me. A loyal kindness, a faithfulness that is costly, a faithfulness that is risky, a faithfulness that is hard work oftentimes, but a faithfulness that is rewarded by our God. I want to be that kind of person, and I want to live that way. Ruth taught me that. Would you bow with me, please, in prayer?